Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get into the top trending stories here in the country, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel as always, and hit that notification bell so that YouTube will let you know when the next podcast, show, or whatnot is updated onto the website. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, and you can hit on that. It'll take you to a website where there's a vast array of podcast players. If you also like listening to a short form version of this, you can check us out on TikTok, and there's also a link down below in the description. Now, if you want to support the show, you can do so by buying us a coffee, link down below in the description as well. And you can also become a channel member, and all the information is also down in the description because that's where everything is kept. But now we're done and dusted with all that. Let's jump into those top stories today.
Phuket water reserves not yet critical. So the Phuket's water reserves remain stable, with assurances from the Phuket Irrigation Office chief that the island's main reservoirs can sustain residents until the expected arrival of annual rains next month. As of April 17, the water levels were as follows. Bangwad Reservoir in Kattu is 20% full, holding 2.12 million cubic meters. Bang Niao Dum Reservoir is 45% full, and that's currently holding 3.57 million cubic meters. And Klong Katta Reservoir is 32% full, containing 1.32 million cubic meters. Despite Bangwad Reservoir being lower than usual for this time of the year, it has not yet reached a critical level and can supply water until the end of May. Plans are in place to assess reserves, water sources, and if necessary, seek assistance from the Royal Rainmakers. Additionally, contingency plans are established for short-term, medium-term, and long-term water management strategies. So let's hope that the rains that they're looking for next month will turn up. I think this kind of brings down a larger argument and a bigger argument about the sustainability of the construction in Phuket, the construction of hotels, condominiums and things like this, and whether or not Phuket actually has the utilities and the infrastructures to supply more and more people to the island. I personally believe at this moment in time, Phuket needs to call a halt to the construction that's going on in the island and reassess itself, because it's far from a paradise anymore and a beautiful island. It's turned into something a lot worse, but we'll talk about that another day. Now, Doi Suthep forest fires are now under control. That's right, forest fires erupted at two main locations on Doi Suthep, a renowned tourist destination in Chiang Mai, visible from a distance. Now, according to the Chiang Mai governor's social media post, the fires began around 21:20 at the rear of Nong Ho Buddha Dhamma Temple. By 12:20, he reported that 50 firefighters were deployed and had fully controlled the fire, with damage assessment to follow later in the day. This incident marks the first occurrence of wildfires in these areas in 3 years. Thailand's forest fire season typically spans from February to May. Chiang Mai, additionally grappling with air pollution, is among the provinces affected by these challenges. And again, very hard. It's terrible for the people who live in this area who've had to put up with air pollution, normally caused by the burning season, and now we have forest fires taking place. So it's become quite a toxic area to live in. And I do know that the hospital admission numbers in Chiang Mai are up, and people are suffering from lung problems from these challenges that they faced. Have the government done anything meaningful to curb this? Absolutely not. And the truth is, they've done nothing except talk, which is exactly what the previous administration, the junta government of Prayut and co, did. Was all talk and zero action. And the same with Prime Minister Thavasin right now. He's done a lot of talking, but there's been nothing done to alleviate, stop, or even focus on these problems. He's talked a great game, but we all know that talk is not going to make the forest fires go out, is not going to make the burning season stop, and it's not going to lower the PM2.5 in the air. So hopefully somebody might take this seriously in the future. But I mean, a couple of weeks ago, they were still encouraging tourists to go to Chiang Mai. I mean, this is all it's about to me, is about money. Let's not have too much publicity about it because the tourists might not come. But at the end of the day, tourists will go, they'll get sick, and they'll post it on social media, etc. And we all know that people read social media and they move on from these destinations as soon as they realize that it's not a place to visit at the moment. Now moving along to a tale of woe, I guess. A Canadian woman is facing steep medical bills and an uncertain future after a Thailand crash. We've heard and we've seen too many of these stories here in Thailand. The family of a 21-year-old woman from Victoria, British Columbia in Canada is urgently seeking assistance as medical expenses accumulate after she was severely injured in a scooter accident in Thailand. Danielle Killerman was riding her scooter on the island of Koh Phangan when an alleged drunk driver veered into her lane and collided with her, according to her sister Jessica. Her right foot is completely mangled and crushed, Jessica told CTV News. Every bone in her foot is broken. Initially taken to a hospital in Koh Samui, Daniela was later airlifted to Bangkok after the family paid around $30,000 Canadian for the transfer. Since then, Daniela has undergone surgery to address an infection, but she requires approximately 4 more operations before she can return home. It wasn't her fault. A local person came into her lane and knocked her off the scooter. It's a miracle she survived, Jessica explained. Despite several witnesses to the accident, the driver fled the scene. The family is unsure if Daniela's foot can be saved, raising the possibility of amputation. She's scared, really scared, said Jessica. While Daniela has health insurance, many expenses won't be covered in time to save her foot. The family estimates each remaining surgery will cost at least $20,000 Canadian and has launched an online fundraiser to help cover these expenses. Even when she returns home, she'll need ongoing care and rehabilitation, Jessica added. Any support, no matter how small, is deeply appreciated. So I popped over to the page. They currently are on $37,000-$38,000 Canadian and they're looking for approximately $150,000 Canadian. Things that kind of strike me in this. Firstly, I really do hope that Daniela is okay. I hope her foot, I hope she gets the proper medical attention and she gets home back to her family and she's okay. And these things are, no matter what we talk about in the show and things like this, these things are always firstly the humanity part of it. Yes, hopefully she recovers and hopefully she gets better and she's okay, because we're all human beings and we all need to have empathy towards people and care about people, even if we don't know them. But that's a human trait that we all should have. The second part of this is the part that I want to address in terms for other tourists here coming to the country. Now, they do talk about the travel insurance, and she does have it, they say, but they may not pay out in time, etc., etc. I am going to go with the fact that I don't think they'll ever pay out, because we all look, Daniela, she's a 21-year-old. Does she have a motorbike license that will allow her to drive a motorbike here in Thailand? I would guess not. A lot of 21-year-olds wouldn't have motorbike licenses. Does she have the correct international motorbike license? I'd probably say not. This would probably invalidate her travel insurance. Of course, she may not have any. And I would also say that if you're looking for $150,000 Canadian and your travel insurance may pay out in the future, will you pay back all these people the money that donated? So this is where I am in terms of the money factor behind it. This is more a thing for people coming to the country. Look, if you've never ridden a motorbike before, if you're not familiar with motorbikes, if you don't have the correct license and the correct insurance to cover you for an accident on a motorbike, Thailand is not the place to come and start learning. It's not. Thailand's roads are death traps. Every day, every day we have double digits of people getting killed on the roads. On average, last year, we had about 14,000, 15,000 people die here on the roads in Thailand. Just on the roads in Thailand, just dead. Not even, that's not how many people were injured, because that figure is astronomical. 80% of people who died last year on the roads were on motorbikes. 75% were approximately men, with 25% approximately women. The roads are dangerous here in Thailand. Most motorbike insurances won't pay out for stuff like this. Most rental motorbikes barely have insurance, and certainly not medical insurance to help you. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the company that she rented the motorbike from that got in the accident will come after her for money to repair the bike. Because many of these places do not even have the proper insurance. And this comes down to the government regulations as well, to ensure that proper companies are renting out motorbikes and vehicles in this country. That there is a proper insurance on a motorbike to cover if there's an accident, to cover, you know, if something goes wrong, and to make sure that people renting the motorbikes are able to drive them and have the proper documentation to do so. And I will only say that people coming to Thailand, if you've never ridden a motorbike before, Don't come here and think you're going to be able to learn, because learning on the roads here in Thailand is a huge mistake and can lead to life-changing moments such as what happened to Jessica. So I do hope this is a cautionary tale for tourists coming to this country. It's not the place to come and learn to drive a motorbike. And that's what I have to say. And I'd love to know what you would think about this whole topic in the comment section down below, as always, guys. So we're going to move along, a little bit of politics. The Move Forward Party have been given until May 3rd to submit a charter court defence. So the Constitutional Court has granted the Move Forward Party an additional 15 days to present evidence in its defence against the Election Commission's application for the party's dissolution and the banishment of its executive committee members from politics for 10 years. The charges allege an attempt to overthrow the country's constitutional monarchy. Now, initially, the court set a deadline of April 18th for the party's defence, but the Move Forward Party requested an extension until May 3rd. The Constitutional Court previously found Move Forward guilty of attempting to undermine the constitutional monarchy due to its campaign to amend Article 112 of the Criminal Code, known as the Lese Majeste Law. Move Forward hopes the court will conduct an inquiry allowing them to present witnesses to support their case. The party denies having a backup party in case of dissolution, aiming to allow its MPs to join a new party without needing refuge in rival parties. I think this has all been very well calculated by the powers that be, and I fully expect the Move Forward Party to be dissolved on, I don't know, it'll be May 3rd, and then we'll listen, it'll be a few more weeks, and they'll deliberate about it, and there'll be lots of talk in the media about it, and eventually it'll come down to the fact that they will be dissolved. Peter Limjanarat, the man who should have been Prime Minister of this country, will be banned from politics from 10 years, along with a few others. But I do feel that any banishment, any banning, dissolution of this party will only propel whatever party they become next to an overwhelming majority win in the next election. I wonder, will that be in the back of the minds of the powers that be who are kind of pulling the strings in all of this too? We know that there are powers behind the court's decisions and what's going on, but it would have to be something to factor in. Banishment, dissolution may propel this party to even, you know, higher levels in the next election. So that is obviously something they're going to have to think about, because I don't think the Move Forward Party or whoever they become next, they were a Future Forward Party. They're now the Move Forward Party. And they've only gained popularity at each election. So I guess maybe something they need to think about along the way too. So Thai police seize 80 million baht sent to Miawadi by scammers. Thai police conducted Operation The Purge, a beautiful name, targeting a cyber fraud gang, and seized assets worth over 250 million baht. That's about 6.79 million US dollars, including 80 million baht in cash intended for transfer to Myanmar. The gang tricked victims into investing in cryptocurrency through fake platforms, instructing them to buy USDT currency and transfer it to specific digital wallet addresses. Investigations traced the money to Chinese citizen Mr. Su Xiaozin and his associate, who used Thai nominees to hide transactions through real estate purchases. Now, following this, Thai authorities launched extensive operations, leading to the arrest of several suspects and the confiscation of luxury condos, cars, brand name goods, and cash. The Anti-Money Laundering Office seized the frozen assets connected to the crime, valued at approximately 600 million baht, and that's about 16.3 million US dollars. The operation also identified additional victims, resulting in arrest warrants for 26 people, and the launch of the Purge operation, which culminated in the arrest of four key suspects, including two Thai nationals, and one each from China and Singapore. The suspect faced charges, including fraud, money laundering, and involvement in a transnational criminal organization. Authorities froze bank accounts, seized assets, and intercepted 80 million baht in cash intended for smuggling out of the country. The investigation suggests the network had an annual turnover of over about 30 million baht. The authorities continue to investigate and expand their operation against cyber fraud. And we have seen quite a lot of raids and arrests over the last couple of months, which I think is a very positive thing. It's obvious that there is a lot of scams and fraud coming from within Thailand, and also targeting Thai people too. A lot of Thai people have been getting tricked into things, and it's good to see that they're obviously on top of a certain amount of it, and whether or not they can get on top of all of it, that remains to be seen.
So as we conclude today's episode, I want to invite you to share your thoughts in the comments below. The show isn't just about delivering news, it's about fostering a conversation. Your insights and perspective matter to me. So keep the dialogue alive, like this video, subscribe to our channel and share it with others. Your support means the world to us. I'm Kira Mack. You've been tuning into the Thai Expat Daily Show. Until next time, take care and stay engaged.